Hi, and welcome back. I'm Simi Lerner, and this is the Judaism From Within podcast, the podcast where we discuss the mitzvahs from the point of view of Rav Shomshon Raphael Hirsch, the rationale that lies at the base of them. And today we're talking about the commandment, or the mitzvah, about divorce. Now, that is a strange one, obviously, because nobody would ever recommend someone gets divorced. Meaning, when a person gets married, divorce shouldn't be on the agenda, because that would undermine the idea of marriage itself. But for Rav Hirsch, there is a deep reason for the presence of such a possibility. And it plays itself out both in Jewish law, but also in how we go into marriage. And that's what I want to discuss with you today. If we step back and look at our frameworks, Rav Hirsch has six categories of commandments. The category of commandment we're dealing with at the moment reflects acts of love. This is opposed to, for example, mishpatim, which is acts of justice. When it comes to mitzvah, Rav Hirsch sees this as a category where you are giving to the other by no demand that they have on you, but by your desire and your aspiration to be more godlike. That is what a mitzvah is. Now, this category, we have divorce. Well, you could understand why you would have honoring your parents, respect for the elderly, marriage itself, but why divorce? Now, because divorce isn't something that you want to do, but that really is the key to Rav Hirsch's perspective. Rav Hirsch understands divorce as being essential because of its very presence, not because of your ability to act it out. What I mean by that is, to gain the full value of divorce, its presence is what is necessary, not the actual living out of it. What I mean by that is that there's a certain paradox here. When it comes to marriage, there's an essential component to it. You have to be all in, and we've discussed this. If you think you've got one foot out of the door, well, then you've never really been married. Marriage requires the desire, as we've discussed previously, the desire to be fully in. You act as if there is no way out, because otherwise you're never fully in the marriage. For example, a person tells me, well, marriage didn't work out for him. I would ask, did you actually try it? Or did you have one foot out the door? You have to fully put yourself in. To be able to develop and work on yourself, there has to be no way out. This is often why people who I suppose are living together suddenly get married and they wonder why everything's falling apart. Well, because when they were living together, they never really truly had to work on themselves. Because, well, they all kind of knew they could walk away. When they came to marriage, there was a certain, you're in this for the long haul, in which case, there was a certain pressure there that they didn't like, that wasn't present when they were simply living together. There is something about the form or the structure, and that might sound oppressive in a way, but there is something essential about that structure to marriage that allows each individual to fully pour themselves into it. But, for Rav Hirsch, the other side of that is also essential. You must act as if there is no way out. But from a legal standpoint, there most certainly is. And that's called divorce. Now, how divorce comes about, we will discuss. It mirrors marriage itself. Intentionality must be complete. Focus. Moral clarity. Respect and the value of the other must be put into the forefront of any marriage and any divorce. But the knowledge you could leave, for Rav Hirsch, heightens the intimacy of the marriage, because it doesn't become this prison that you're in. For example, let's say divorce wasn't a problem. It wouldn't be a form or a structure that you're pouring yourself into and trying to express the full you in the safety of a structure. It would be a prison. It would be a prison with no way out. Well, that's what divorce is. Divorce is the knowledge that my presence in this relationship, the loyalty I'm demonstrating in this relationship, is meaningful because it's freely chosen. It could not be. There is a way out. There is a way of breaking the bond. There is a way of breaking the marriage. There is a way of putting it aside and going on a different journey. That knowledge allows the decision to be within the marriage an act of freedom. Now, How divorce is initiated, and the criteria that either the husband is forced to give his wife a divorce, or the husband is allowed to go ahead and give his wife a get, the get is the word used for a divorce document, isn't the place that I'm going to be focusing on right now. I'm going to be focused on the idea of the actual structure of the get. Because when we discussed Kiddushin and Nisuin, we spoke about the intentionality, the focus, the recognition that intention, kavana, must be present. The other person must demonstrate this in front of witnesses. The same parallel exists when it comes to dismantling a marriage. There are specific halachic criteria, which, once again, is, I think, playing around with this delicate balance of, on the one side, marriage being a form and a structure, but also having the ability to leave, which means getting into a marriage shouldn't be something on willy-nilly emotional expression, but at the same time getting divorced shouldn't be hinging on a whim or a person's fleeting experience or emotions. No, they're intentional. There's a process. And Refersh goes through the different criteria involved to get divorced. It has to be written specifically for that person. It has to be written in a specific way. A specific document has to be written up. It must be complete, non-conditional. The freedom that is being given here is not a conditional freedom. It is a complete freedom. It must be given to the other person. The other person, the woman in this case, must be of sound mind. She has to understand what's going on, which means if she's not of sound mind, the get cannot take place. Both individuals have to be present, both physically and also mentally. Yes, a get can be given over with a shliach, and Rav Hirsch discusses that, but once again, that doesn't take away from the intentionality of how it was written up. It must be put into her domain. It must be in front of two witnesses for its validity to take place. All these come together to once again play around with that delicate balance and that paradox in a way, that on the one side, a marriage requires a framework. A marriage requires, you can't leave, because marriage requires the as if you can't leave. It requires that living as if you can't leave, to fully pour yourself into the marriage, to fully own the marriage in its ups and its downs. But then at the same time, you, well, can leave. It can be broken. So we have a marriage, the total intentional giving of self in love to the other, but the same way when it comes to divorce, total intention release of the other in freedom. From both of their point of view, she has to be fully aware of the situation, and he is the one who initiates, like he initiates with marriage. Which, we can go back to that discussion if you go back to the previous episodes. So once again, let's sum up. We've got this idea of this delicate balance of what increases intimacy is knowing that you're in this relationship with freedom. It could be broken, and under certain conditions, it should be broken. But at the same time, you have to act as if it isn't breakable. You have to act as if this form and this structure is absolute, because that is the only way you can pour yourself into the marriage genuinely. And it was actually interesting to develop this podcast, because in the Rav Hirsch's work Chorev, it's a very short message, but he develops this more richly in Devarim, where he discusses the nature of divorce, the criteria of divorce, and that was the resource for this week's discussion. As always, thank you for your time, and thank you for your continued listening, and have a great week.